the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, all right, let's do this. We walk right into breaking news today,
man.
Here. On 95.7 The Game, if you are just tuning in, Micah Parsons is a member of the Green Bay Packers. Adam Schefter now tweeting that it's two first-round draft picks and a frontline player. We don't know who it is yet. Maybe it's Jordan Love. I don't know. We're going to find out here very, very soon. And Dibs, would you mind if I had a very brief, and I want your involvement in this, but a very brief conversation with my wife right here on the air?
Sure.
Because she's listening, and she texted, Cowboys had to, too much animosity. I don't necessarily disagree. This thing had gotten very, very ugly. Jerry Jones was on Michael Irvin's podcast just last week and was literally being like, so we had a deal and the agent told me to go bleep myself. So Jerry Jones is way too proud of a man. He thinks he runs the league. I'm not surprised that it got to a divorce. I think as of a week or two ago, it absolutely looked like it was headed that way. But what I would say back to anybody who says too much animosity is, who's responsible for the animosity? That's not all on Micah. So I don't think the Cowboys had to, because they are very much complicit in getting it to this moment. Now, was Micah being reasonable? Guess what? The Packers sure think so. Because if the Cowboys are sitting there going, we're not doing $47 million a year for an edge rusher. Well, guess what? The market says you will. And you have to do that. And this, you know, it's interesting how this relates to Juwan and more. Because I know that Juwan is, he's not even a third of the player that Micah Parsons is. But again, what you need to know in the NFL, you need to know your worth. You need to know what someone else will pay. This is like when Tyreek Hill was all mad at the Chiefs, and they're like, we're not doing $30 million for a receiver, and the Dolphins are like, we will. And now everybody does. And now we're closing in on $50 million for a non-quarterback. And if Micah and his agent knew that that was out there, then very well played. And I'll also say, if the Cowboys only got two firsts and a player, wow, they got schooled on this one.
But Kenny Clark is the player, according to Adam Schefter. He's the nose tackle for Green Bay. So
holy crap.
Dallas loses an edge, and they bring in a nose, a guy who was a first-round pick in 2016. So a veteran, highly regarded, and you know, a guy who's been a mainstay for Green Bay. Did they get anything else, Grandy, besides the firsts and Kenny Clark?
Adam Schefter says trade terms is just Kenny Clark and the two first-round picks. Yeah.
Are they both, they're the next 2 years?
We don't know that.
26 and 27, I would assume.
Probably, yeah.
And they're probably not even good first-round picks. This
Kenny
is the Packers.
Clark, yeah. Kenny Clark will also be 30 in October.
Okay.
So this is not like a young guy that to build your defense around.
No. Wow. Wow. Total mismanagement and just complete and utter lack of understanding how to do this.
But it feels like they could have gotten more if that's all they got.
Wow.
And, you know, the idea about animosity, whether or not there was real animus or not, it seemed like it. And, you know, you can, as ownership, you can go about these things in a number of different ways. And even with the Niners and Nick Bosa, I don't think it ever got to the point of animosity. It got uncomfortable. It stretched out all the way into week one. They got it done, and Nick Bosa has maintained and continued to be a productive player. Yet Dallas, the way that went, it clearly was not something that could be salvaged, and so yet to this point, and you're a little desperate to make a move.
I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned. And again, just to sort of like bring a few different aspects of this in, especially to our listeners here in the Bay Area, I want to go back to something I said there on the crossover, which is, to me, it has to be the hallmark of a healthy organization, which is that when you are lucky enough to strike gold in the draft, and you like, it's a drafted player who ends up being an absolute star, I just do not see many scenarios where it's ever right to let that person go over money until that person is, like, not producing. Do you know what I mean? If the Niners ever got into some sort of squabble over dollars with Fred Warner or George Kittle, like, that would infuriate me as a fan. So if you're a Dallas fan, to have this guy still be coming off of his rookie deal and be 26 years old and as surefire of an absolute defensive stud as he is for the next 5 to 7 years, for you to let that guy out of the building because your feelings got hurt, that just shows Jerry Jones is being run by his own ego. I get it. He might be the most powerful person in the league, but it has clearly reached a spot where it is a net negative within the organization. And I'm glad that the San Francisco 49ers, at least, like, that's something that they try. It doesn't work every time, but they try to make a hallmark of the organization. If we draft a guy who's really
the
good,
A-listers,
we keep him.
And they've done that.
Yep.
And you're hard-pressed to find any of those guys that they haven't kept. And you can look at Mike McGlinchey, who they drafted and they kept, and he got to a point and you realized you could probably replace him, and he was maybe not an A-lister. And you look at the other guys, Ayuk, they think is an A-lister, and Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and George Kittle, and you go all around the guys that they have drafted and they've kept, they value that. And yet the Cowboys, they did that with Dak. Okay, you did that with CeeDee Lamb. And that's about it.
That's it.
And you have this opportunity with Micah Parsons, and you just alienated him so badly. You tried to go around the agent and go straight to the player. And, you know, basically Micah saw that, and he sided with the agent over the owner.
I can't believe that somebody tweeted out, well, what Dallas is hoping here is to kind of reboot a Herschel Walker-type trade. Two picks and Kenny? And I'm sorry, Kenny's a good player. Kenny Clark is a good football player. But are you serious? Whoa. I mean, we'll see how things play out. But on paper, that is one of the worst trades that I can remember in recent memory in the National Football League.
It makes the Luka Doncic trade look like a pretty even swap, you know, because at least in that trade, the Mavericks got Anthony Davis, right? They got a real Hall of Fame caliber player. Kenny Clark is a good player, but you got two firsts and an interior defensive lineman, and you gave up one of the, 15 best players in all of football? You got fleeced.
One time in the last 6 years has the Packers' first-round pick even been in the top 20. That's the other thing. You just got first-round picks from a really good football team, so they're not even good first-round picks. Like, you could use yours and theirs and package that and maybe move up to number one or two or three or whatever in the future. I don't know how this is all going to play out. Again, if you're just joining us, Micah Parsons has been traded to the Green Bay Packers for two first-round picks and nose tackle Kenny Clark. And Parsons signs the richest non-quarterback deal in the history of the league, which is predictable, by the way. What maybe was not predictable is how high the AAV is. It's $47 million a year.
Woo.
A four-year, is that 188? Did I get that right? Four-year, yep. 188 for Micah Parsons.
Talk about resetting the market.
Yeah, and the guarantee is well above $100 million as well. But if you are Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, and I know his ego is big enough that he don't care, but get ready, dude. You're about to have a week-long news cycle where the people on your side equal 0%.
It's going to be a small number.
0% think you just did a good thing.
Maybe Kenny Clark's family, and they've always wanted to get back to the Texas area. But you mentioned Herschel Walker before. Dallas traded Herschel Walker a couple of thirds and a fifth, and they got back three firsts, three seconds, a third, and four players. That's what the Herschel Walker trade netted. Skip ahead. Micah Parsons is maybe not as good as Herschel was then, you could argue.
I think a more important position.
Sure, but the point is Dallas got two firsts and a player, whereas before they got four players and they got eight picks, including three firsts and three seconds.
Wow, man. absolutely crazy. And I like, you know what I also want to do? Because there's also people always, you know, they like there's an immediate reaction to that. What has this done to the Packers Super Bowl odds? Like, how does this kind of change? Yeah, they have vaulted to the third team in the NFC just because of this move. The Green Bay Packers are now trailing only the Eagles and the Detroit Lions in the NFC. And then immediately behind the Packers and tied are the Washington Commanders and the San Francisco 49ers, tied for fourth in terms of Super Bowl odds in the NFC. So the Packers fire up the board because they got the best in the game at a very, very key position, or at least among the best. I don't know who the other names are. Bosa, Watt, whatever, Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Crosby, sure.
Yeah, sure. Those are the guys. And it is an incredibly important position. It will change the Packers' defense. We watched how Nick Bosa did that for the 49ers a few years ago, and I believe that Micah will do that for the Packers. You love a little potential downgrade for the Detroit Lions this year. I don't know, man. Are the Packers now the favorite in that very difficult division?
You'd be hard-pressed to pick another team. I think Minnesota takes a step back with a rookie quarterback. We just don't know. Chicago takes a step up. Can they take two up? And Detroit, still good. Lost both coordinators and, you know, tough to have a year like the one you had last year. There was a little bit of a natural regression. So if I was to bet, my money would be on Green Bay. Just one other note, Mark, about Kenny Clark making $2.3 million this year. Then it goes to $21.5 million and then $20 million in the next 2 years. Okay. So you basically got Kenny Clark for 1 year, unless you want to pay a nose tackle $21.5 million next year. You largely just got a player for this year and two first-round picks.
I can't explain this one. I can't explain this one other than that I'm a human being and I know that some people let the emotions get the best of them. But that's the only thing I can say about the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones here. Let the emotions get the best of you. And you just sent an absolute surefire 26-year-old Hall of Fame track edge rusher out the door for three, like, whatevers. Honestly, didn't Kyle Shanahan say the other day that almost all draft picks are essentially 50-50? You just got two late first-round draft picks and a guy named Kenny for a year. Oh, it's stunning.
It is.
It's absolutely stunning what they just did.
It's one thing if you're going to trade him, which I think is nonsensical in and of itself, but if to get this back, to get two firsts, like you said, Green Bay should be good enough to where those picks may not even be in the top 20. So, yeah, you'll have your pick, and you'll have a second first-round pick, which is not nothing, but compared to an actual, we found him, real-life edge rusher game wrecker, now you don't have that. And guess what? You're going to have to use one of those picks in the draft and find that guy and hope you get it right.
And you probably won't.
At 20, yeah.
I mean, well, actually, you almost definitely won't. You're not going to find Micah. You know what we're talking about here? Like, I would bet that general managers around the league think that that's one of the 10 most important players in the game. Quarterbacks included. I mean, Micah Parsons, if you just opened up a draft to the general managers of the league right now and went, take any player you want, where does Micah go? Top 15 for sure. For sure. Absolutely stunning stuff. All right. 888-957-9570. Tim Kawakami is going to join us at 4:15. We got a lot of stuff to get to. The phrase Super Bowl or bust gets used a lot around here. Would like to play with that a little bit coming up, but we have this news and sort of how does it affect the framework of the NFC, in your opinion? Certainly open to that. At 888-957-9570, we'll take your phone calls right now. Micah Parsons is a member of the Green Bay Packers. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Woo! How about them Cowboys? Man.
Still trying to get Guru to call in so far. I'm not getting any more responses.
I can imagine. I mean, he's probably, I would imagine he's upset. If you're a Dallas fan and you're not upset, I don't really understand that.
Micah Parsons traded to the Green Bay Packers for two first-round draft picks and Kenny. Clark.
Right.
I'm not trying to disrespect Kenny.
You do it every time.
I know.
Every time you just say Kenny.
Well, compared to Micah Parsons, that's who he is. He's Kenny. Kenny Clark.
Right, and he's voluntarily a part of this, but no, now he will forever be linked to the Micah Parsons trade.
He's a very good player. He's a good player. But, I mean, it's just beyond stunning. I could only tell you, if I were a Niner fan, I'd be livid if the Niners did this.
If they traded Nick Bosa and got back Kenny Clark and two firsts?
I'd be livid.
Oh, yeah?
Livid. I'd be like, what are you going to do with first-round draft picks, Niners?
Probably draft Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah, you barely get those right.
Yeah, it's hit and miss. Trey Lance.
Trade him for a bunch of fifths.
Exactly.
That's when you're going to actually get
a lot of fifths for a first.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to the phones in a sec, but take a listen to this. So this is 105.3 in Dallas.
The Fan.
The Fan, right. This is 105.3, The Fan in Dallas. Their hosts on the air as this came down about a half hour ago. Here is their immediate reaction to the trade.
I would have tried to push this thing for more, but the Cowboys clearly were saying, screw this, we want to get rid of this guy. This isn't going to work for us. I am just blown away and stunned that they actually did this. I did not think we would live in a world where Jerry and Steven would move a player of the status of a Micah Parsons. And I would like to applaud them for doing so.
Yes, I'll join you.
Because I think
applause.
Big picture, yeah. This is great for the organization.
What? Get that guy on. When are they done? Get that guy. How can this be great for your organization?
They are the flagship. I'll just open with that.
Okay.
So the Cowboys flagship station. And so there might be a little bit of that in the comment. And you could look at it from the standpoint of, if you thought that Micah Parsons wasn't going to play, and I don't know how contentious it had gotten, if there was no way Micah Parsons was going to be a Cowboy any longer, then yeah, you need to trade him and get something for him. But I liked what he said in his opening comment. I would like to have seen them get a little bit more. I think that's basically what he said at the start of his comment. And that to me is the biggest piece. Like, okay, you're going to do this. You got to get more than what you got for Micah Parsons. I mean, you just have to.
Well, if you were going to do this, then do it in the weeds. Do it 3 months ago. You would have gotten twice as much. But you wait until now, you let it get so messy, and then everybody sort of knows that it's coming, and everybody's rosters are set, and all of these things. And yeah, you get stuck. There are probably a very small number of teams out there that could even have this financial discussion, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so then you're stuck. Then you're stuck. Because where you want to send him is like Jacksonville or Tennessee or something like that. Because those are going to be some first-round freaking draft picks right there.
Exactly.
But not this. This is not going to be good. You just traded him for the 24th pick next year and the 26th pick the year after that.
Most likely, right?
Maybe the 32nd.
Depending on how good Green Bay is going to be. And, you know, with Micah Parsons, you would imagine that they're going to be better than they were earlier this morning.
For sure, they're a better team now. Let's go to Bob in the city here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Bob. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you stole a little of my thunder there. This got Charles Haley written all over it. If you're Dallas, you don't send him to a team in your conference. You send him to the other conference. They should have learned when they took Charles Haley from us. Because look what that did. They gave him two Super Bowls right off the bat. Anyway, I think the Niners kind of did it with DeForest Buckner, in my opinion, because I wasn't happy about that,
yep.
Letting him go, you know. But anyway, that's what I got.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Yeah, a lot of people, and maybe it's because of the uniforms involved, have sort of brought up the Charles Haley thing. Look, in general, and I can't, I guess, put a blanket over this, but in general, when you nail a draft pick and you have a superstar in the making, like, you have to keep that guy. And I think I know where Jerry was coming from in this position. Jerry Jones does have a weak point. And the weak point is his strength, in other words. This is what I mean by that. Jerry is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, people in the league. From a financial standpoint, from a power standpoint, that's the dude. The Cowboys are the flagship. They are the right? They're worth the most money. All of those things. But Jerry Jones, he takes, therefore, in my opinion, he takes all of that to heart. and personally, and if he ever believes that there's anyone that's challenging his authority, he acts on that as opposed to acting on what's best for the football team. You can't let your emotions get involved here. Let's go live to Dallas. Odyssey Station, 105.3 The Fan, joining us right now, River Island's guest line. Thank you so much, short notice, for doing it. It's RJ Choppy, who is on in the mornings on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. RJ, thanks for hopping on. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm on my way to baseball practice. I have a feeling that all the dads are going to have questions.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going, right?
Yeah, we're dads and we have questions.
Exactly. What's your answer? Because you know what the question is. Hey, RJ, what the hell are the Cowboys doing?
Man, I was trying to fix something in the house, and I get up and I see 74 unread text messages.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, no. What happened here? And I figured it was a group chat blowing up. But, man, I'm a little surprised. Not because, like, this isn't a move that 31 other teams wouldn't make. I'm surprised that this team does, because Jerry is very much in a win now. He's always said, I ain't got time for a bad time. That's his line, right? I ain't got time for a bad time. He's getting older. Never thought he would effectively punt on a season at this age. But I was stunned, because for that very reason, I never thought he will go down this road and go through with this. He's always eventually paid. But something here, whether it was the quote-unquote handshake agreement and Jerry felt very slighted, or whether it was Micah just not kind of refusing to talk, or David Mulligan, the agent, refusing to talk. I don't know what it was. But something went astray here.
And do you think that it is as simple as, you know, the handshake agreement where Jerry allegedly went behind the agent's back and then he found out and then Micah rallied up with the agent? How long has this situation been this badly broken?
Well, I do think it's very possible that that was the issue, that, you know, the agent and Micah just were like, we're not doing this. And remember, Micah, back on, what was it, August 1st, said, you know, he requested a trade. And I never thought the Cowboys would go through with it and actually trade him. But yeah, something happened. Something went sideways with this. And I don't know if Micah's camp just never got over the fact that Jerry refused to start negotiations again. Jerry had said, that the offer they made was a great offer. It was over $40 million per year. And, you know, he made that offer to them back when it was just to him and Micah. And when that went, when that handshake agreement got kind of, you know, stepped back on, you know, I don't think Jerry ever offered it again. I think that was a problem.
RJ Choppy is with us, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. After the big news, Micah Parsons traded to the Cowboys. I'm sorry, traded to the Packers. Cowboys get two first rounders and Kenny Clark, the nose tackle from the Packers, on the way. RJ, do you happen to be listening to your station right now, or when this went down, did you tune into the Fan?
No, I was I just finished getting ready for the next day's show, and I had started on my honeydew list before I leave for baseball. Baseball friend. I was trying to put together a vacuum cleaner. I was not listening to anything. I got my phone just kept dinging.
Okay.
And my wife was like, dude, your phone's blowing up.
All right, so can we play for you what was said right as it happened? This is clearly your coworker. Would love to get your reaction.
I would have tried to push this thing for more, but the Cowboys clearly were saying, screw this. We want to get rid of this guy. This isn't going to work for us. I am just blown away and stunned that they actually did this. I did not think we would live in a world where Jerry and Steven would move a player of the status of a Micah Parsons. And I would like to applaud them for doing so.
Yes, I'll
because
join you in
I think
applause.
Big picture, yeah. This is great for the organization.
Okay, we got multiple hosts on your station applauding this, RJ.
Look, team building wise, it's absolutely the right thing to do, right? You move on from, you can't have a $60 million quarterback, a $35 million receiver, and a $45 million edge rusher. You just can't do it. That's $130 million on three guys. Dak is not good enough to be able to put that kind of emphasis on a top-heavy roster. If this was the Chiefs, you can get away with it, right? If this is the Bills, but not this team. So strictly team building, I've got no qualms with this. I'm just stunned they did it. I didn't think they would do it.
It's an interesting statement, and I think it begs two questions. First of all, one of them is, if that's how you feel, that the other two guys that you paid are sort of like, if they're going to have that, then you can't keep this guy. I'd ask you, then should they have paid those guys? Should they have $60 million a year wrapped up in Dak?
Look, I don't think they should. I didn't have a problem. I didn't have a problem when they did it because they still had a good roster. But now that the roster is, like, it's obvious you don't have Micah anymore, and Micah was a kind of a cheat code on defense. Their defensive EPA is number one in the league when he's on the field, and it's last in the league when he's off it. So, you know, like that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're not gonna have Micah Parsons, then there's no point in having Dak Prescott. You're not gonna win. You know, there's no point in spending 60. You might as well just punt, let Joe Milton quarterback, get a top five pick, and start over. Like, that's that team building wise. That's probably what they should do. They're not going to do that. You know, they're dug in, and you can't really get rid of Dak anyway because of the contract. But I mean, it just put them in a bind. Like it really did. Like, having to pay three guys $130 million is not sustainable.
Hmm. I got to be honest with you, RJ. I think the world right now, especially if you look on social media, they're expecting Dallas, and you guys are just a handful of representatives, but they're expecting Dallas to be much more angry about this than you all sound.
You'd be stunned at the text I have. Like, they're all like, good riddance, let's move on. Now, I'm not a good riddance guy. I think Mike is tremendous. I think he is, you know, easily one of the five best non-quarterbacks in the league to me. But yeah, from like the money that you were going to have to spend, that it was going to take, because they dragged their feet, and that's their own fault, right? That's also their own fault, but because they dragged their feet. I thought for sure that it was going to be a problem to have $45 million there, $35 million with CeeDee Lamb, and then $60 million with Dak.
Fascinating. Yeah. Hey, RJ, good luck at baseball.
Thank you.
Okay.
Nice and warm.
Yeah.
Only 109 degrees, according to my car.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice buck nine, yeah.
Yeah. We're
in the Metroplex.
We're shorts. All right. RJ, thanks, man. Appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah. No problem.
Okay. RJ Choppy.
Yep.
105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Definite whiffs of the Charles Haley trade. And if you're Dallas, that's the worst case scenario, because Haley went to the Cowboys and won two of three Super Bowls over the next 3 years. So if you're the Packers, you're kind of hoping that this is exactly the way that goes for them.
I just don't know. Like, my second question I was going to ask him, I'm like, you know, did you, if that's how you feel, you can't do that much money for three guys, then did you pay the correct guys? That's question number one.
Of course not.
Question number two is, can you not break off an edge rusher, a receiver, and a quarterback? I know that the Micah thing, that's very large. 47, that's a lot more than Nick.
Right, and he said 60, 47, and what does CD make? About
33? 35, 30, I think it's 35.
You'd have to look at all of the average annual value of all the contracts, but I don't know if there is a team that is doing that.
Probably
not. Even the 49ers,
not.
If it's 52 for Brock, that's not 60, and Nick is not making 47,
no,
and Ayuk is making 30, so
yeah.
Those are all incrementally lower than what these would be.
Right, but that's also because in each case, I believe the Dallas counterpart was well after, not the Dak one, but the CD one was after Ayuk, and clearly the Micah Parsons situation is well after Nick. Like, these numbers go up. The Niners are going to have to. They're going to have to do that.
Brock didn't go up. I mean, Brock didn't reset the market. Like, he didn't get 65.
No. But the numbers, like, what we wrap our head around as far as a contract for X player, it's going to keep going up. You know, when Nick Bosa did this, it's $34, $35 million. Now it's $47 million. Well, pretty soon someone's going to go over 50. You know, I don't know who the next guy up is as far as great edge rushers in the league, but yeah, it's gonna go up. So I don't know. I look around the league and more think about it in terms of, can you break someone off at each of those positions and be in decent shape? And the Niners have broken someone off at each of those positions. You know, the Eagles have two receivers making north of $25 million, and they've broken off their quarterback. No, not 60, but very high, you know. And the Cowboys, it's like, who else are you paying? I don't even know who any of their other good players are.
Do they have other good players?
Not really.
And that's kind of the point of this. And yeah, Philadelphia, they've got other guys who are making a ton of money, but they also have a lot of drafted guys who've come up and who have not yet gotten that paycheck. Landon Dickerson, the Eagles guard, is making $21 million, and that is top 80 in football. The interesting team, Mark, that has paid a lot to a few is Cincinnati with Burrow and Chase and Higgins. And, you know, now with Trey Hendrickson getting...
Yeah, although that's only 1 year.
Right, but it still is, you know, it's not huge money, but those other three are all top 40 in football, and yet Cincinnati's not very good.
No, because they don't have any good defensive players, and they've drafted that way. I get what teams try to do. You try to get somebody young who's cost-controlled for a handful of years, but that's a very dangerous game because you don't know who you're drafting, and even if you nail it, you're not getting Micah Parsons. I just think Dallas is going to suck at football for the time being. And if that's the goal, and if everybody apparently out in Dallas is all okay with that, then great. But did you hear what R.J. Choppy just said to that us? Your defensive EPA with him on the field is
number one.
And when he's off the field, it's last.
Number 32.
Are you talking about leverage here? There's no better leverage than that. No wonder the agents, what are you guys talking about?
Right. Well, the agent actually heard from the player that the owner had made him an offer and there was a handshake agreement. And turns out the agent was able to get him from $40 million average annual up to 47 or 48. So good job, agent. Way to handle it. And Micah Parsons was clearly either put off by the process or Jerry Jones got PO'd that this handshake agreement wasn't held, and so he didn't make any more offers because he was, I'm all dug in, I'm Jerry Jones. Well, okay, fine. You're not going to keep him. If you're going to trade him, you've got to get more than this.
Poll has just been put up on 95.7 The Game's Twitter feed. If you're John Lynch and the 49ers, would you have given up two first-round draft picks and a solid veteran player for Micah Parsons? Would you have done that? Yes, of course. You would have?
Of course.
Well,
I think any team would have.
Well, but I don't think the question is that simple. I actually probably would say no. Because in a vacuum, yes. But that's not how... Like, you've already got one of the top paid edge rushers in the game. So now, remember, you have to do that too. You got to sign him. You got to sign him to $47 million a year.
Fine. You've got cap room. I mean, they keep telling us all this cap room they have. And you'll make room for a player of his caliber.
But the cap room is this year. A lot of it goes away. They're trying to...
Well, cap schmap, right? That's what you've always told me.
Yeah, okay. Cap schmap, unless you want to get excessive at the very, very top of the market, then yes, there are rules in which you have to fit. So I understand that. Cap schmap means, like, don't tell me you can't re-sign your third cornerback like they were doing that year, you know, the first year when Trent Williams needed a new deal. This is a number of years ago, and they're like, we have no cap space. And then they retained everyone. So you can create more cap space. But, do I think that's a fair exchange? I would love that for the 49ers. If you were going to do 47 for Micah, 34 for Nick, 52 for Brock, 30 for Brandon, whatever Trent's making now, 26, some odd. Christian's up just south of 20. George and Fred just got repaid. I mean, I don't even know if you could field a roster. You'd have to cut everybody else. Lenore's gotten paid. So, yeah, I'm with you. But the reality is, and again, this is why he ends up on the Packers, the reality is there's probably very few NFL teams that could even have this financial conversation. If you're Dallas, the Packers have to be one of the top three or four teams you don't want to send him to. In your conference, the team that knocked you out of the playoffs 2 years ago, you don't want that. That's the last team. I mean, within your division would be worse. And outside of that, I'd say the Niners and the Packers are the two next teams outside your division you don't want to send him to.
Obviously, they didn't even really care about it at that level because they were dealing with the Packers now for a while, according to reports. And, you know, also depending on how much money you want to pay up front in a signing bonus, you can work the cap in that fashion. And that's what the Niners have done so well, is they pay a lot of money in signing bonus and you stretch that out over the course of the 5 years of the contract. So there's ways around it, even if you are a team that's up against it.
All right, so we can keep chatting this out, sort of how you see this restructuring your thought process in the NFC. Micah Parsons goes to the Green Bay Packers. The Dallas Cowboys pull the trigger on the deal. They get two first-round draft picks in return and nose tackle Kenny Clark. That's it. That's the other part of it. It is kind of sort of like the Luka deal, where they're like, man, if you were going to do this, I don't like you doing it, but if you're going to do it, you got to get more than that, right? And I, like, yeah, you got to get more than that. That's got to be more than just a couple of first-round draft picks that, by all likelihood, are not even high first-round draft picks.
Right, and that's where you think about it, and you get to this point, how could you not have, I don't know, shopped him a little bit more to get a better offer than just two firsts and a player?
Yeah, so crazy, man. All right, 888-957-9570. And how it affects the framework of the NFC is where we want to take this conversation next, because Dan Graziano wrote an article on ESPN, and you're gonna want to hear this. It's just a bold prediction article, potential surprises for each of the 32 teams. Wait until you hear what he wrote about the 49ers. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibs.